Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, February the 26th, gunmen abduct hundreds of schoolgirls in Nigeria's Zamfara state. The new US administration carries out its first airstrike in Syria. And the preacher to the papal household delivers his first sermon for Lent, focusing on repentance and faith. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. In Nigeria, unknown gunmen today abducted hundreds of schoolgirls in the state of Zamfara. As Lydia O'Kane reports, it's the latest in a spate of kidnappings targeting schools in recent weeks.
Up to 300 schoolgirls were seized early on Friday morning by unidentified gunmen from the Nigerian town of Jangebe in the northwestern state of Zamfara. According to the state's information commissioner, unknown gunmen came shooting sporadically and took the girls away in a midnight raid on the Jangebe Government Girls' Secondary School. It was the second such kidnapping in just over a week. Last week, unidentified gunmen killed a student in an attack on a boarding school in the north-central state of Niger and kidnapped 42 people, including 27 students. The hostages have yet to be released. This list of kidnappings continues to lengthen. In December, gunmen abducted 344 schoolboys from the town of Kankare in northwest Katsina state. They were freed after 6 days, although the government said no ransom had been paid. As security forces continued to hunt for the girls on Friday, the UN Children's Agency UNICEF deplored the abduction, saying, "We are angered and saddened by yet another brutal attack on schoolchildren in Nigeria." The most high profile in this spate of abductions took place in 2014. When militant group Boko Haram abducted 276 schoolgirls from the town of Chibok in Borno State. Although many were found or rescued by the army or through negotiations between the government and Boko Haram, 100 are still missing. Following this latest kidnapping, parents gathered at the school on Friday, with witnesses saying that some had joined in the search for their missing children. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
The United States' Biden administration has launched its first airstrike in Syria, allegedly in retaliation to an attack on a U.S. military base in Iraq in mid-February. Francesca Merlo tells us more.
The United States has carried out airstrikes in Syria targeting facilities used by Iranian-backed militia groups near the Iraqi border. This is the first airstrike carried out by the United States since Joe Biden took office in January. John Kirby, the Pentagon's chief spokesperson, announced that the airstrikes were in retaliation to attacks earlier this month in Iraq that killed one civilian and wounded a member of the U.S. service along with coalition troops. Syria war monitoring groups said the strikes hit lorries moving weapons to a base for Iranian-backed militias in Bukamal. The site was not specifically tied to the rocket attacks, but Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said he was confident in the target. In the attack earlier this month, rockets hit the U.S. military base housed at Erbil International Airport in the Kurdish-run region of Iraq. In the past, the U.S. has targeted facilities in Syria belonging to Kataeb Hezbollah, which it blamed for numerous attacks targeting U.S. personnel in Iraq. The Iraqi Kataeb is separate from the Lebanese Hezbollah movement. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, a Britain-based group that monitors the war in Syria, said 22 fighters from the Popular Mobilization Forces, an Iraqi umbrella group of mostly Shiite parliamentaries that includes Kataeb Hezbollah, were killed. Throughout his pontificate, Pope Francis has often renewed his appeal to the international community to protect the many people suffering in Syria.
Rinnovo il mio accorato appello alla comunità internazionale.
The Pope has often appealed for a stop to the violence in the country and for the international community and all parties involved to make use of diplomatic channels, dialogue and negotiation to end the conflict and to safeguard the lives and welfare of civilians.
Salvaguardare la vita e le sorti dei civili.
I'm Francesca Merlo.
In Myanmar, the effort of the United Nations and of other humanitarian agencies is being greatly hampered by the current crisis. Especially impacted by the political crisis in the nation is the UN program for internally displaced people in conflict-ridden areas. As Robin Gomes reports, the agency, which coordinates the UN's global emergency response to save lives and protect people in humanitarian crises, has expressed its concern.
The crisis roiling Myanmar following the 2nd February military coup has resulted in shutting down of businesses and services, including banks, interrupting payments and cash withdrawal systems. The price of essential commodities such as food, construction materials and fuel has reportedly increased in some areas. All these have adversely hit the programs of the United Nations and its partners in the country, said the United Nations Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, in its bulletin on Thursday. It noted that changes in counterpart entities and interlocutors, as well as access issues, have also affected aid operations in the country. The office said the UN and its partners have for many years been responding to humanitarian needs caused by conflict and natural disasters in Myanmar. They want to continue their work also under the current circumstances. Many international and national humanitarian actors, it said, continue to strive to resume or are resuming their humanitarian and COVID-19 related programs in camps. According to Ola Almgren, UN Resident Coordinator and Humanitarian Coordinator in Myanmar, relief agencies are working to resume activities that have been paused in some parts of the country. According to OCHA, apart from the current crisis, about 1 million people hit by conflict and natural disasters are in need of support and protection. As the protests continue, OCHA pointed out thousands of people have been newly displaced, including a surge in civilian casualties with ongoing clashes between government forces and insurgent groups in the northern state of Shan. OCHA said that even before the coup, humanitarian access was constrained because of security concerns, administrative procedures, and travel permits. It reiterated its call for safe and unimpeded access to deliver a timely and principled humanitarian response. I am Robin Gomes.
Meanwhile, on the ground in Myanmar, rallies continue to protest against the military coup that took control of the country on the 2nd of February. And allegedly, police have been escalating use of force with injuries reported amongst protesters. And in breaking news, the United Nations Special Envoy on Myanmar today told the United Nations General Assembly that no country should recognize or legitimize the Myanmar junta that seized power in the coup and said that all efforts must be made to restore democracy. Human rights observers, meanwhile, say they have gathered evidence of a revenge attack nearly a year ago by Cameroonian soldiers on a village where they raped at least 20 women. Human Rights Watch said the raid took place on Ebam in the Anglophone southwest region, where separatists are fighting for an independent state. The NGO said the attack was one of the worst atrocities carried out by Cameroon's army in recent years. As countries across the globe continue to grapple with the health emergency of the COVID-19 pandemic and with its far-reaching political and economic effects, the Vatican continues to highlight the need for an integral approach, never neglecting those most in need. Archbishop Ivan Jurkovic, the permanent observer of the Holy See to the United Nations in Geneva, stressed the need for faith and collaboration in order to effectively deal with both the evident and subtler effects of the pandemic. Father Benedict Mayaki tells us more.
The permanent observer of the Holy See to the United Nations in Geneva, Archbishop Ivan Jurkovic, has underlined the important role of sincere dialogue as a tool for creating a positive impact on the world amid the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Speaking at the 6th annual interfaith dialogue held in Geneva on Wednesday, the Vatican official highlighted the common conviction that inspired the meeting, noting that the annual event allows us to share what is important to us in a spirit of fraternity and trust so that we can learn from each other, help each other, and grow in mutual respect. The event was themed The Role of Faith During the COVID-19 Pandemic. In his speech, Archbishop Jurkovic remarked that every aspect of our lives have been affected by the ongoing pandemic. He noted that hundreds of thousands of people have lost their lives, national economies have been devastated, production has been stopped in many places, and education has been reduced to virtual learning or has ceased altogether in some situations. While emphasizing the importance of the health restrictions implemented around the world to ensure a safe environment for all, the Vatican official, however, noted that isolation at home, wearing of a mask, the loss of jobs, and the impossibility to interact with each other physically continues to have a profound psychological, emotional, and spiritual impact on each one of us. On top of all these, he lamented that the COVID-19 pandemic has exacerbated some of the already existing tensions and increased the threats to unity between peoples, cultures, and nations. He gave the example that when resources and medical treatments are limited, it is understandable that each person and nation will seek to secure a stockpile for their own. However, he warned that this self-interested myopic approach stands in direct contradiction to the unity and communion that truly brings fulfillment to the human heart. In the face of the current situation, he noted that our faith teaches us to look beyond ourselves and our immediate needs towards the common good. Concluding, Archbishop Yurkovich said that all of us, strengthened by our traditions and religious beliefs, can testify to the value and importance of cultivating spiritual health rooted in fraternity and love as an effective way to heal the world around us. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
And finally, Capuchin Father Raniero Cantalamessa, who was created cardinal by Pope Francis in the consistory of the 28th of November 2020, delivered his first sermon for Lent 2021 in the Paul VI Hall at the Vatican today. The theme for this year's Lenten Reflections is "Who Do You Say That I Am?", taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew. For his introductory sermon, the preacher to the papal household offered an overview of the season of Lent, focused on the passage "Repent and Believe in the Gospel." Christopher Wells has more.
Repentance, or conversion, said Cardinal Cantalamessa, is mentioned in three different moments and contexts in the New Testament, corresponding to different moments in our own lives. The first is founded in the words spoken by Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, "Repent and believe in the gospel." This does not primarily have a moral sense, according to Cardinal Cantalamessa, but instead refers first of all to having faith, in believing, in changing how we see our relationship with God. The second New Testament call to conversion comes when Jesus invites his disciples to turn and become like children. Here, Jesus puts forward a genuine revolution, calling them and us to shift the center from ourselves and to recenter ourselves on Christ. Finally, in the book of Revelation, Jesus calls those who are neither hot nor cold to be earnest and repent. The focus here, said Cardinal Cantalamessa, is on conversion from being mediocre and lukewarm to being fervent. This is not our own work, he insisted, but rather the work of the Holy Spirit. Cardinal Cantalamessa recalled the experience of the disciples when they were filled with the Spirit at the first Pentecost. The fathers of the Church described this experience with the image of sober drunkenness. How can we take up this idea of sober drunkenness and embody it in the present situation in history and in the Church? Cardinal Cantalamessa asked. Beyond the ordinary means of Eucharist and the Scriptures, the Cardinal, citing St. Ambrose, points to a third extraordinary means that is not institutional, but instead involves reliving the experience of the Apostles on the day of Pentecost. One way this can occur, he said, is in the so-called baptism in the Spirit, which involves a renewal with fresh awareness not only of baptism and confirmation, but also of the entire Christian life. Cardinal Cantalamessa emphasized the importance of a true conversion from being lukewarm to being fervent, inviting his listeners to pray for Mary's intercession for this grace. I'm Christopher Wells.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. You can join us again tomorrow at this same time for more. My thanks go to Gustavo Messina in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.